Hello guys, it's your favorite host Rudolph on the Impact Voices podcast. I'm super excited to have an amazing lady here. She's my friend, my sister. We grew up in the same town in Cameroon. We've known each other for many, many years. It's uncountable at this point, right? And so she's no other person than Nane Lucy, and she's a Cameroonian by birth, by generation. And she's currently residing in Dallas, Texas, studying criminal justice, and she's a YouTuber. She's an amazing YouTuber. I'm going to put her YouTube channel on the description of this podcast so you can check it out and support her as well. See the amazing work that she's doing and impacting the community. Sister Lucy, are you there?
Yes, I am, and thank you for having me.
So why don't you give our audience just a little bit about who you are and what you're doing, because I don't want them to really dig into you just yet, because we're gonna dig into you in the conversation.
Okay, so basically, I mean, you said it all. I'm a Cameroonian by birth. My name is Lucy Nane, or Nane Lucy, however you want to organize that. But my social media name will be Ntube Nane. My official first name is Ntube Lucy Nane. I'm a student. I live in Dallas. I'm studying criminal justice and political sciences. And I'm also a YouTuber. The other things that I do on the side, but yeah, pretty much that's me.
that sums it all right. We're all doing so many things, but that's like the major things.
Those are the major things I'm doing.
So on this podcast, we have a tradition where we kind of go through like an African proverb, and it ties in just with our topic that we're going to be digging much deeper into. So the African proverb that I want us to look into today is, when brothers fight to the death, a stranger inherits their father's estate. So I'm going to repeat it just so you get it. So when brothers fight to the death, a stranger inherits their father's estate. This proverb is actually from Igbo. So Igbo is a tribe in Nigeria, one of the largest tribes in Nigeria. If you don't know Nigeria, one of the biggest countries in Africa. So what do you think about that, Sister Lucy?
I first of all, I'm going to say that Africans have always been very intelligent. We still are, because this proverb, I see how much this proverb applies to today. Right. When you say, when brothers fight to the death, strangers inherit their father's property. It's actually true, both in the sense of family and even with the friendships we have today, because we find people fighting their family members because of social media. And then guess what? Their friends who are loyal, who stick with them, at the end, enjoy whatever they make. You know, so people don't, this is me thinking about the proverb. Somebody doesn't really have to die. But if you find yourself in a situation where you've had your family members, you need their support, but they're not there, or they choose to fight you, and then eventually you guys fall apart, your friends come in and enjoy what they are supposed to be enjoying. Right. So I think that's a very, very good proverb. It's deep.
Yeah, because, you know, as you were just talking, I was thinking about, I'm like, it doesn't really have to be like literally fight to death, but you know, those misunderstanding that we have amongst each other. So we're not promoting each other. We're instead having ourselves against each other, right? Yeah. And if we're fighting against each other, guess what happens? We are limiting the growth that we're supposed to have. And other people are using our fight, they're using our argument, they're using the things that we have against each other to promote themselves. To promote themselves. So if you think about there, we have young African artists who are coming up, right? At some point realize that they start insulting each other instead of supporting each other to grow, right? That's some of the reasons why we're going to realize that they can't make you, it's going to be very difficult for them to be competitive with other continents, right?
Yeah.
Because you see that when they go about fighting each other, guess what happens? Other people are just like, look at these guys, right? They're insulting each other. We've seen a lot of videos where Africans are doing one thing and maybe the Chinese or the Asian, they're doing something completely different with their own time.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
So I mean, come on, even in our community right now, I know the Cameroon industry or entertainment industry is still trying to grow, right?
Yeah.
What are they busy doing? Instead of, like, if you go on, if you join or follow some of them on Facebook, you realize that people are spending more time saying, oh, Nigerians don't support other Africans, Nigerian don't do this, Nigerian don't do that, instead of actually going to the Nigerians to learn about what they are doing to right. put the entertainment industry out of the country. Because right. for me, I don't like to analyze things based on hearsay. I like to work with facts, right?
Right. Right.
You look at Nigeria. Nigeria has a population of 200 million people.
Right. And plus, growing.
I like to say,
yeah.
Now you have the most famous of Nigerians only have about 2-3 at the most 10 million followers.
Right.
Now, if you look at those people with 10, 11, 12, I mean, there's really no one with 20 million followers. But in a population of 200 million plus people, and you only have 10 million people, that should tell you that Nigerians are not even consuming that stuff.
Right. You know, because exactly.
not just Nigerians, you have Cameroonians, Kenyans, South Africans, Americans.
I'm in the diaspora. Yeah.
People out of the country consuming that. Look at our brother, our own Cameroonian celebrity, Samuel Eto'o.
Right.
He's a world-renowned footballer. When someone hears you're from Cameroon and they're into soccer, the first thing they say is Samuel Eto'o.
Now, I know.
Samuel Eto'o has 12 million or 14 million followers on Instagram. And you have 7 million Americans on there. You have 1 million Nigerians. It just tells you that the people of that country are not actually consuming that stuff. Because if they were... Right. You would have the most popular Nigerian artist having 100 million
plus. Million plus. Yep.
Because young people agree. Are the majority of every community, ages
Correct.
18 to 45 or
45,
whatever they range it. Right. So they should have at least 100 million followers. And those right. are the things that today's youth were not focusing on. Because when I hear these Cameroonians say, "Oh, Nigerians need to support Cameroonians," I'm like, Nigerians are not even supporting themselves like that.
Right.
I mean, they're doing the best they can. The 2 million people who are really interested are putting in all the work and all of that. So it's making it look like, okay, they're pushing the stuff. But if you go into numbers, you see that the support is not coming only from Nigeria.
Nigeria, exactly.
And which just brings me back to the proverb that you said.
Yeah.
You know, because instead of trying to build, you've had Cameroonians attack other Nigerian actors. We don't need support, we need collaboration.
Right.
I call that it's a lot of crap to me.
Yeah.
If you don't entertainment is not an African thing like that, or the modern day entertainment, we are the last to get into it. So we need to learn from people who have been there and done that. And we also need to realize that some things just come in phases. Once upon a time, everybody was into Bollywood movies.
Yeah.
And none of us could understand what they were saying in those films.
Until we love them.
Came in to make it easy. Some of us watch Bollywood movies today. It's not like there are no American movies or British movies or African movies to watch. That's entertainment for you. So yeah, I think we need to focus on building each other, not acting like crabs in the bucket, trying to drag each other down.
Drag each other down. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that was a lot. That was really deep because it's a lot about how, and this is, you know, for you guys listening, it's an opportunity to kind of assess yourself, right? Assess your relationship with not just your brother, you know, biological bad brother or whatever. It's just, you know, your friends or people who are close to you. Kind of look at that to see. It's just about elevating each other from one step to another. So Lucy, I know you're currently studying criminal justice. I just want us to start from there. What got you into criminal justice? I love it. I love criminal justice. I have one of my cousins who is, she did healthcare, then she did law, she did all these things. So I'm really intrigued and I can't wait when you invite me for that graduation, right? And the cases are going to be judging. but what got you into criminal justice?
So, back in Cameroon, I did study law. But if you look at the society, we grew up in a basically, I would say, lawless society where people could just do stuff and get away with it. Now, it wasn't my strongest passion to do law before. I mean, you know how it is. Everybody starts out, I want to be a medical doctor. And then you end up somewhere else.
Exactly. But
I would say Form 5. At Form 5, I knew that I did not want to be a doctor. I would be wasting all of my talent and gifts. And without my parents' knowledge, because I was a science student, good in physics, chemistry, and all of that stuff. But I had loved literature. As in, even as a child, at age 5, I could read. Wow. Like, actual reading. I would read newspapers. I have 2 books that my mom had got. I keep thinking about those books. I Wonder Why the Sun Rises. The other one is titled, I Wonder Why My Tummy Rumbles. And I kept reading those books over and over until I understood what those books were talking about. Now, this is way before age 10. So I've always loved reading. And I discovered at that young age that the hospital would just box me in. I needed somewhere that I could explode and all of the ideas just dropped in my head. I wanted to do that. At age 12, 13, I started writing a book out of nowhere. Like, I didn't even understand why I was doing those things. So when I got to the point where I was writing my ordinary level GCE, instead of registering for science subjects, I registered for history, literature, geography. I had not done, I think I stopped doing, I didn't do geography in Form 4, if I'm not mistaken. And even history too, because I was a science student. And my teachers were like, how are you going to do this? And guess what? That was actually my best grade for the ordinary levels, you know? So I ended up doing history, economy. Yeah. I registered for commerce, and we didn't have a commerce teacher in my school, the school that I wrote O levels. And based on what I read by myself, applying some small economic knowledge, I ended up with a D, of which I was really proud because I'm like, wait, I didn't even have a teacher for this.
Exactly.
But I got a D. If I actually had the right notes, I would have passed that particular subject.
Of course. Yep.
So when my parents saw my sleep, they were like, what is going on here? They were expecting to see.
Like, what did you do?
What is happening? You know?
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want to do the sciences. And my dad said, oh, you're going to go to high school. We're putting you in a boarding school. Because I transferred to day school because of health issues. And he said, oh, you're going back to boarding school. And what's going to happen is you're going to rewrite O-level maths. Because I didn't write
science. Yeah.
So you're going to write it. And then you're going to do a conjugal maths. And I'm looking at my dad and I'm telling my dad, I want to become a journalist. And he's like, journalists don't make any money. Why do you want to do that? I mean, and he was right, because back then, the journalists he knew were the journalists in Cameroon. He was not looking at his daughter thinking, 10 years from now, this kid is not even going to be anywhere near this country, right?
Yeah.
So I went to high school. Of course, my dad gave me money to register at maths. Please don't ask me what I did with the money.
I hope he doesn't. I hope he does. I hope he listens to this podcast.
He's about 16 or 17 years too late. So I was like, no, this is not what I want to do.
Yeah.
Of course, high school, I went and registered for literature, history, and economics.
Right.
And then after lower sits, when I got to upper sits, first term, I think I passed economics and literature. And my dad said, you see what I'm saying? You don't belong in the arts. If you pass economics and literature at the advanced level, you're going to come back and rewrite maths. I was like, and that is how, it's funny, but that is how for my advanced level, I wrote history, I wrote literature, I wrote economics paper 1, and I disappeared. Yeah. Because there was, if I had written it, I would have passed. But there was no, I could not afford passing it. And thank God I came out with 2 B grades, literature and history. I mean, because I said, now going to the university, I mean, growing up, I've always been passionate about women, child rights, and all of that stuff. So when I saw that, that was something that really broke my heart. You see orphans, the way people are being treated, people don't have anybody to fight for them. I thought, you know what? In as much as I like this journalism thing, I think what will really give me fulfillment is getting into the law field and be able to help as many people as I can. And I'm just going to, it came from partially from a place of hurt. So after my ordinary level, I had surgery. I had appendicitis. Okay. And the doctor who operated on me, I'm not going to say his name. I remember that name. I remember his face like it was yesterday. He did a C-section on me instead of the short appendicitis. And that made me so angry, you know. So it started off with, okay, I want to go to law school and be able to sue this guy. Because basically you've put a mark on me that can never go away. No woman wants to have a child via C-section.
Yeah.
Even if I don't plan on having a child, that was a huge medical error, you know? And he was nonchalant about, like, I don't even want to talk about my experience with that surgery. But that was the beginning of me saying, hey, I need to go to law school. I just know I want to sue this guy.
Right.
And then, of course, I got admitted into the University of Boya to study law. And I realized, I mean, it's not like it's not worth, you know, I thought about all the children being kidnapped and all of that and doing projects. I was like, no, this is what I want to do for sure. And that's how I looked at criminal justice. Now, the American way is different because what I ultimately want to study is family law. But in America, you can study political sciences, you can study psychology and still get into law school. So criminal justice because of the police science part of it, because I really just, I like to learn things. I like to understand fully what I'm doing. I'm passionate about family law, but it's also going to help me if I have a little background on criminal justice. And I decided, you know what, I might as well take some political science classes. I have an associate's degree in political sciences as well. And I'm right now taking psychology because I want to be rich in every field of the law. But it's mostly to help people. That's why I got into criminal justice. And hopefully.
No, you're going to make it successfully, because one of the things that I got from, you know, your expression, and a lot of us choose career path from a point, from a place of an aha moment, right? Sort of that epiphany that occurred because of that event that occurred, right? You thought about it, you were so angry, you got so mad that you wanted to solve the problem, right? And it's very common in Africa, in African medical practice, because there is no checks and balances. People just...
Medical field. I mean, even with schools, you see beat up someone's child. And I'm asking, why in the hell do you think you have to treat a person this way? Because they're a kid.
Exactly.
So it's things like that.
Because they can't fight back.
Exactly.
But if they were given that opportunity, if they had the same opportunity with a person that can fight back, I bet you they won't. They will not do that. You know, so thank you so much. Thanks so much for sharing that. I think it's really helpful that, you know, you like your experience. I pray that, you know, my prayer and all my best wishes for you and, you know, going through your academics. And I really want to attend that graduation. And I can't wait for all. We are still going to sue that doctor.
Right? Hopefully.
Yeah.
We may not sue him, but we may get other doctors because, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
exactly.
It's about doing the right thing, you know. Hopefully he learned from his mistake and he's not doing it anymore. Because if he is doing it, he should know that I'm definitely coming for him. That would be the first person I do background check on, because people are losing their lives because of carelessness, you know.
Right.
A lot of people are dying just because a doctor was not careful enough. And this is very common in our community because we take a lot of things for granted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know we can keep going on these topics from now to the end of time, right? But I can't wait. I really can't wait to have you back on the show. And especially I really can't wait to be on the, you know, on your show when you start kicking things back up, because I think that it's very important that not just for us promoting each other, but I think it's a lot for us to share our story with the world so they get to know, because if people don't know you, they wouldn't know how to treat you, right?
Yeah, Sure.
But if they get to know you, then they know how to treat you better. Then you also get treated the way that you present yourself, mm-hmm. right? The way you present yourself. So, my sister, I'm so excited that we had an opportunity of doing this. I'm super excited that we're going to be doing this even more in the coming future. I know some of my audience are listening to this podcast and they really can't wait to have, you know, to either watch your content, follow you on social media. I'm going to put your social media account, contact information on the footnotes so you guys can check it out, follow her, see her story, even though she's put her YouTube channel on pause, but she's very active on Instagram and Facebook. So you should definitely check her content. Is there any final words I can give to the audience?
Well, what I'm going to say is thank you so much for listening. I hope that we all take it as a duty to educate each other, because in as much as I want people to learn about Africa, I want to learn about Americans too. I want to learn about the rest of the world so that we can treat each other better. Yeah. I know in the past we'll say war has brought so much change, but we should always remember that it also brought so much pain. And right. if we have things like racism still being fueled in 2022, it's because yeah. of history. It's because yeah. of the pain that some things that happened came with. So right. This message, especially to my African brothers and sisters, I'm going to treat us as a country for once. Yeah. When you meet people of different cultures and they ask you a question, are you from Africa? Don't, I know it's a lot, but don't look at it from, okay, the minimizing me or whatever. Use yeah. it as an opportunity to educate people and say, hey, Africa is a country, not a continent. It's a continent, yep. not a country.
Yeah.
I can tell you about my country, but I can't tell you about the other 54. You know,
yep.
so let's yep. make it a duty to teach people about our names, what they mean, why it's important exactly. to say it right,
yep.
why it's important to not ask me, are you from Africa, but ask me, where are you from? Because I could be from Germany.
Exactly.
I could be from France, you know,
exactly.
I could be from Brazil. Ask me where I'm from. Let me tell you where I'm from. And yep. it also helps my American brothers especially to go into their ancestry and learn where they're from. Because yeah. you realize Americans don't know a lot about their history. I think yeah. they don't, because they do and they choose to ignore it, then that's a problem. But learn yeah. about your history, because when people ask me, where are you from? I say, I'm from Cameroon. And I ask them back, where are you originally from? And they go, oh, no, I'm from Texas. I'm like, no, everybody exactly. in America is an immigrant. Your family exactly, has right. may have been here for so many generations, but yeah. you guys came from somewhere in Europe. It's also yeah. important that you guys learn where you're from so that you don't feel like you're asking someone a wrong question. I mean, basically, I'll just put it in a nutshell. We should stop walking on eggshells around each other.
Yeah.
We should yeah. be able to ask honest questions and learn from it. And if everybody knows where they're originally from, we can have better conversations and it doesn't yeah. look like, oh, okay, is this a wrong question? Are they going to be upset about this question and all of that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's my take home message for everyone. Let's live together as one people. We are the world, like Michael Jackson said.
I know. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lucy. This was great. Hey guys, and if you love this content, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel or download this podcast on your favorite podcast platform. I can't wait to have you guys on the show again. And you're going to be hearing more and more stories about Lucy and the many good work that she's doing out there in the world. Take care. Bye bye.